We're up to Ro'evin I turn, Va'ered and I went down the mountain, the har bo'er bo'esh. The mountain was burning on fire. U'shnei luchos habris al shtei yodei. Again, nachmal, the zelbazach, the shnei luchos habris. We keep on vacillating, going between the luchos ho'evin, the luchos ho'avonim, and the luchos habris. There's got to be someone, Mefarsh, to make these diyukim over here, why we keep on switching between the luchos ho'avonim and the luchos habris. And they were al shtei yodei upon my two hands. What does Rashi over here say? No Rashi. Rashi's on strike. Rashi's on vacation. The summertime. Ro'efen I turn the Erim in the heart, even though there's a lot of Rashi in this parish. This parish is a ton of Rashi. Okay.
A question.
Yeah.
The original luchas that he came down.
Yeah.
Who saw it?
The whole Klal Yisrael saw it.
He broke it. No one saw
before, it. Before he broke it. Before he broke it, they all saw it.
No, he was standing up. He heard the kol rash. So he's on the mountain, and he throws it down and breaks it to pieces.
So what are you trying to say?
So there's a luchas habris is not the same as the luchas havanim, because the havanim is the second one he built.
You want to say that the luchas rishonis, luchas shnius were both given at the same time? The
Nusra, no.
And Moshe only
the Lucas Rishonis was special Lucas. Hashem wrote it and
Vahamatsa Masya Lakim. So you want to which one is the Lucas? Which the Lucas Habris thing is the
first Lucas one Shani. Hashem gave. Then Moshe made another set.
Yeah, but it says that the first. I know, but in this week's parasha, it says after this whole episode, it says that Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to go psalucha, chisel out new stones, and bring me those new stones, and I will write on those new stones. The Aseres HaDibros again. So it doesn't appear that there was already done.
So so the writing, it was written right, Hashem. But the first ones, there was a whole different madrega of it. Where did it come from, that stone?
V'haluchas was Ma'ase Elokim. It says in the Pasuk.
Okay, so it's Ma'ase Elokim.
The divine, it wasn't a regular stone.
But the second stones were chopped up by Moshe. Moshe had to go and chop them up and bring it to Hashem.
Okay, I don't know. You're saying very deep things, Meir. You're saying like stuff like you know, Kabbalistic things that the Malach
taught. I'm sitting all day and talking to the Malach. Malach, how are you?
Let's see.
My Malach walked out into the kitchen.
Let's see what it says over here. It says, V'ispinesi, I turned. Okay, to be pointed, I turned. Unichosis min tura, I descended the mountain. The Tura on the mountain, Bo'er Be'eshos, so the mountain was burning, was on fire. How does that work? How does the mountain burn on fire? Usrein Luchei Kiyomo al Tartein Yodei, and the two Luchais of the Bris, the word Koyomo means the Bris, was positioned upon my two Tartein Yodei, my two hands. Rashi, no Rashi. Next Pasuk. Let's see, maybe over here there's an insight over here from the Ma'atzori in Pasuk Tezvov. In Pasuk Tezvav, we hear, what does it say? It says, V'ispinis, Bobo, Oisiri, is this little, okay, let's not, no, nothing that we want to focus on at this moment. Let's go to Pasuk Tezayin. Bo'ered, I went down, I descended. V'hine, and behold, Chatosem L'Hashem L'Techem, you have sinned. Every time it says the word V'hine, V'hine means the unexpected. The unexpected, Moshe didn't believe, why is it unexpected? Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that your people have sinned. Moshe was already misfollowed for them. Why then does it say the word vihine? Vihine always connotes the unexpected. The answer is, Eine doime shmir l'ri'ya. Even though Hashem told Moshe that your people have sinned and they've worshipped an eagle, and Moshe got a first-hand report from Hashem, still, Eine doime shmir l'ri'ya. When Moshe actually saw with his own eyes what they did, It was a shocking thing to reveal. Even though Hashem told them all the information. Okay, that's a very important point.
I don't understand something. What day did this happen? This again when this happened on the 6th of Sivan when Hashem gave
up. This happened on the Shavuot of Tammuz, the 70th day of Tammuz.
So the mountain was burning on the 7th day of
Sivan. The 17th.
I thought it was burning when Hashem came down and all that. That's,
it seems to say that it was still burning. The Pasuk explicitly says that 40 days later, Moshe went to Shemayim. The Torah was given on Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan, and Moshe went up. Moshe Lachar went up on Zayin, no matter what. The Torah was given on Vav, he went up the next day. If it was given on Zion, he went up that very day. And Moshe came down on the 17th day, and it's 40 days later exactly. And on the 17th day, the mountain was burning. So it says in Farish, you're saying good. I didn't know this. I didn't see the movie. But it says here.
You didn't see Charlton Heston turn, go up with a black beard and come down with a white beard. You didn't see that, Rebbe?
I don't think.
What did you miss? That was a famous movie.
If I have time, I'll go on YouTube and watch it. But I don't have time now. Well, Ethan, not in this life.
Yul Brynner paid Pharaoh. You don't remember that? Oh, Rebbe.
Before my time.
Meyer, did you see that movie?
What do you mean? He was the actor. he was starring in the movie, Meyer. You didn't see him there on the side there holding an Israeli flag? He walked out in there. He's the only one to respond.
No, my parents took us to Broadway. It was playing in Times Square. We didn't just see it in a some movie theater.
You saw the real deal.
The real deal in Times Square.
I thought you were starring. I thought you got an Academy Award for it. You were part of one of the actors. All right, let's go.
A lot of the actors were Jewish, you know.
Yeah, I thought you if you would be there, you'd be holding an Israeli flag. You'd be holding it and waving it.
What?
If the Chabad was there, they'd be there with their flag.
Oh, Chabad would have had a ball. They would have changed the shape of the
luchot. It says here, Mr. Rabbi, says the man was burning fire. That's what it says. You're right. Next pasuk. Well, I went down. You made yourself an eagle calf, masecha molten. What does the word masecha mean? Masecha is a hard word. Molten. What's molten? Molten means liquid metal. What kind of metal? Well, you have different types of metal. You could have all different types of metal. It's gold. How come over here it does not say in this pasuk that it was zohav? We always refer to the egel hazohav. Why is it the Chumash in Parashas Ekev, when Moshe reviews the events, he refuses to mention the fact that the eagle was gold? What's going on? Isn't it a good kasha? It's a very elementary concept that it was gold. That's why in the Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol does not go in lifnai v'lifnim with the gold garments. Ein katega nasaneger. So why does Moshe leave out this critical fact? Gold doesn't say, just as an eagle, masecha, that was made from molten metal. Masechin can be any metal, lavd afka gold. Sarta maher, you have turned away quickly. Menaderech from the road, asher tziva Hashem, as Hashem has commanded you. There is no Rashi on this pasuk either. Targum says, v'chazesi ha'isur v'ho, chavtun kodom Hashem. You have sinned. Elo kachoin, avadutun l'choin, egel matecho, an egel from metal. You see, I was right. Masecha, look at the Targum. Targum over here says, matecho, mateches. Mateches is metal, lav dafka gold. Sitesun, you turned away. Bifria. Bifria means swiftly. Min orcha from the path, di fakir Hashem yosun, that Hashem has commanded you. Okay, now, sit, what we got here. The role that Hashem commanded you next. For espois b'shnei ha-luchos for ashlichem, I took hold of the luchos and I cast them aside. Me'al shtei yodoi. And I broke them in front of your eyes. So Meir, this answers your question. Meir, you asked the question, whoever saw the luchos? It says here, Beferish and Rash in the Pasuk, that the Jewish people saw the luchos. It says, I shattered them right in front of your eyes. And this is a very difficult pasuk, because this book over here says that Moshe Rabbeinu took hold of. What do you mean he took hold of? He's holding it. What do you mean, v'espois? I seized it. I gripped it. Okay, that's a good word. I gripped the two tablets. What did I gripped? He was already holding on to them. It's going down the mountain. It says, maybe that's what it means. And back in Pasuk 15, it says the luchos were not in Moshe's hands. It says they were resting al, above my two hands. Now when Moshe wants to break it, Moshe has to take what is above his two hands and put it, he grabs them. And he actually holds on to them. There's a difference. The luchos is now going from al shtei yodoi to vo espois, to grip the two luchos. And notice here, Notice here we have now a new term, term number six. Well, no, new term. Here we're calling the luchos. We're not calling the luchos anymore the luchos habris, and we're not calling them the luchos huavonim. We're calling them stam, two tablets, like Advil, Tylenol, two tablets. It doesn't call them anymore the luchos habris or the luchos huavonim. Va'ashlichem. And what does it mean va'ashlichem in the English? They have selected the words and flung them away. What does that mean? I cast them away. Why did they use the word flung them away? Me'al shtei yodoyim. Now, what is going on over here? I grab hold of them, and then I cast them from above my shtei yodoyim. That's a contradiction. First, they were al shtei yodoyim, Pasuk 15. Then it says, I grabbed hold of the two luchas. So they're no longer on top of my hands. And then it says, v'ashlichem, I cast them me'al shtei yodoy, from my two hands. No, we're brainwashed and just assuming everything here in the pasuk makes sense. But when you study the words, there are a lot of very difficult expressions that don't add up. V'ashabareim, I broke them le'enichem, in front of your eyes. What does all this mean? So Rashi over here says nothing. Targum says, Va'achodis b'srein luchaya, I took hold of the two tablets. Urimisinun is I cast them to lift up from on top of my two hands. Usevartinun le'enechoin, and I shattered them in front of your eyes. Okay, now we're here in the Ma'atzari, Pasuk Yitzayin, Va'achodis achiza. Okay, it doesn't really say much more than that. Okay, let's go to the next post. Now, v'esnapal lefnei Hashem k'rishayna. I threw, what does it mean, v'esnapal? Tachanun. Moshe Rabbeinu, he daven tachanun. He fell down on his face before Hashem k'rishayna, like originally. Now, what do you mean k'rishayna? What's the rishayna? When did Moshe, the first time, bow down on his face?
Before he came down the mountain.
Oh, before he came. Okay. Well, okay, let's see. Okay.
Here it's mentioned afterwards.
Okay, let's see. Like I did originally. For all of your sins, asher chatosem, that you have sinned, in the eyes of Lahaki, so to anger Hashem. Rashi pasuk yud ches. Okay, there's a lot going on over here in this Rashi. But esnapal lefnei Hashem karishon arbam yoyim shenemar viatua now el Hashem ulay achapro. So Rashi here in Parshas Ekev has come to cross reference what it says in Parshas Kisisa. And now let's get the sequence of events. In Parshas Kisisa, it says that Moshe was in Shoreim for 40 days. Why was he there for 40 days? What was Moshe doing in Shoreim for 40 days? Right after when he went up to Shemayim. He went to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, a crash course in Judaism. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the 10 Dibros, the Aseres HaDibros. And that's just 10 Dibros. There are Tayag Mitzvos. Okay, there are Tayag Mitzvos. Even though you'll tell me from Rav Sad Yigon that the Aseres HaDibros really encompasses all of the Tayag Mitzvos, but Moshe also needs an elaboration. He needs an elucidation of the 10 Dibros to expand them into Tayag Mitzvos. So when Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights, what was Moshe doing? He was learning Torah. Hashem was teaching Moshe Kol HaTorah Kula. The very last few minutes that Moshe was in Shemayim, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, I taught you Kol HaTorah Kula. I want to tell you some bad news. The Jewish people, your people, have now begun to worship an idol, an Egel Azav. That conversation took place the very last few minutes of Moshe being there for 40 days and 40 nights. Immediately in Shemayim, Moshe, before he went down, before he left, was mispalel to Hashem, Vayichahal Moshe, Espinei Hashem Elokov, Vayihoimer. And he was mispalel, don't destroy the Jewish people. Zechor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov. And then at the end of that whole conversation, Hashem says to Moshe, Vayinochem Hashem, Al horo asher diber lasos liamal. Hashem said, okay, I'm not going to destroy the people. Hashem didn't forgive Klal Yisrael. Hashem didn't forgive. Hashem just says, okay, we'll call a timeout. As soon as Hashem called timeout, ceasefire. Basically, it was a ceasefire. Hashem was willing at that moment to destroy Klal Yisrael. Moshe pleaded to Hashem, Zochor li Avraham li Yitzhak li Yisrael avadecha. And Hashem said, okay, ceasefire. Right now, you go downstairs and check out what's going on, and we'll continue the conversation later. Moshe goes down, he sees the Egel, he destroys the Luchas. And then Moshe goes back up for another 40 days, really another 80 days, or first for another 40 days. Now, here is the key word. What is the Rishoyna? The Rishoyna was not 40 days. The Rishoyna, the Esnapal, has a connotation of prayer. Moshe only stood in prayer before Hashem the first 40 days, the last few minutes. For 39.9 of those 40 days, Moshe was learning Torah. It was only at the very, very end that Hashem revealed to Moshe that Klal Yisrael was worshiping an angel. And then Moshe was Esnapal. Moshe fell on his face. So here it says, Esnapal of Hashem, Kori Shoina. Let's see Rashi. Arboim Yom, Shenemar, V'atuan now, Elel Hashem, after Moshe destroys the eagle, he grinds it up, and he gives them to drink from the water, and he says, Mila Hashem Elai, and B'nai Levi come forward, and they take weapons, and they kill all of the perpetrators. Then Moshe says, I'm now going to return to Shemayim and ask Hashem for forgiveness. Maybe Hashem will be able to forgive you. I will achieve achapera. I will attempt to get forgiveness. Be'oisa aliyah, the second aliyah, nis'akafti arboim yom. He spent 40 days. And what did he do there for 40 days? He prayed. Nimtzu comes out, call him b'chav tes off, b'off. It turns out that if you go 40 days from the 18th day of Tammuz, the last day is the 29th day of Av, Shu'u Ola b'shmoina osa b'tammuz, Moshe went to Shemayim the second time on the 18th day, bo v'ayom nisratza l'Yisrael off. So here, he's saying incredible stuff over here. Not like what I told you. Moshe did not need to pray for 40 days to get forgiveness. Moshe only needed to pray for a short time. And right away, Hashem says, I forgive you.
That was the first one? The first time?
The second time. Well, both times. But let's read the Rashi, and then we'll come back and explain more detail. But over here it says, the Moshe went up on the 18th day, and Moshe was mispalel to Hashem for forgiveness on the 18th day. And immediately, Hashem said to Moshe, I forgive them.
What did you do the other 39 days the second time around?
Oh, let's see what it says. So, V'yomalo l'Moshe, p'soluch Hashem l'chos, also oidar bo'am yom. And Moshe went, and he made go quarry to Luchos. Also oidar bo'am yom. No, I made a mistake. Let's go back. Let's review the Rashi again. Let's go back. Where Estapal of Hashem Karish the first time, Okay, so I made a mistake. Moshe did pray for 40 days. I made a mistake. Moshe prayed for forgiveness 40 days straight. Bo vayo means on the 29th day of Av.
So this is the second time around, right?
Right. This is the second set. On the 29th day of Av, it's a very big Yom Tov, Rabbi said. It's a very big Yom Tov. On the 29th day of Av, Erev Rosh Chodesh is a very great day. You know, that's, I think this is the reason why it's a very big thing to daven Yom Kippur Katan on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. See, most of us don't ever daven Yom Kippur Katan. There are people that today became a little bit partially popular. Every Rosh Chodesh, you could find minyanim Yom Kippur Katan. But most of us never heard of this, and most of us don't do it, and we avoid it like the plague. but on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, It always was a thing. I remember back years ago, many years ago, I remember Chaim Berlin, I remember he stopped doing it. But I remember on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rav Aaron Shachter, Rosh Chaim Berlin, he Yom Kippur called in the minyan, and he came to Mincha in his talis and tefillin. Like everyone was like shocked. Talis and tefillin for Mincha? And I remember very clearly, it was a big, big thing. It was a big thing. Elul, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, it was a big thing. He stopped doing that. I know as a fact, he stopped like the next year, the years after. I don't know why. He never did it again. Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, he did not come and wear tefillin. He just came in his regular clothing.
And is it taftan by Mincha?
No, you don't say taftan.
Oh, it's Erev Rosh Chodesh.
Erev Chodesh. Now, also, I'll just give you an example. I mean, it doesn't mean anything because this is just one little yeshiva in the world. But in Chaim Berlin, they don't have, they never daven Erev Yom Kippur Katan the whole year. The only time that they do it the whole year is only Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, they have a full feature film. They have a full ceremony of Erev, and I think in many yeshivas, it's very, very common in the yeshiva world that Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, they'd have Yom Kippur Kata. And the rest of the year, they don't. Why? Why is Erev Yom Rosh Chodesh Elul different? And it's very obvious from Rashi, because it was Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, Bo Bayom, Hashem said to Moshe, I forgive the people. I forgive them. I forgive them. It says in Rashi, Bo Vayoim, on that day, the 29th day of Av, which is Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, Nisratzel Yisrael.
Hashem. The 18th, wait a minute. It says it's on Shavuot, it went up. Bo Bayom, on that day, what day?
The 29th, go back to the Rashi. That Aliyah, Moshe went up on the 18th day and remained there on the 8th day of Tammuz until the 29th day of Elul is 40 days. Rashi's Nimsu comes out that the 40 days come to an Enkolim, they end the Chav Tes Ba'af. How do you know that? Shehu Allah b'shmoyna osa b'tammuz. Moshe ascended on the 18th day of Tammuz. Starting from the 18th day of Tammuz, count to 40. And the last day, day 40, is the 29th day of Av. Bo Bayom, on that day, the 29th day of Av, the end of 40 days, Nisratzo li Yisrael. Hashem says, I forgive the Jewish people. The Omar loy le Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, now that I forgive the Jewish people, Pisol lecha shmei luchos. Now that I forgive them, I want you, Moshe, to go and quarry two tablets. Also, it sounds like Moshe left. Moshe had to leave Shemayim to go hunt for two tablets, to quarry two tablets. He returned the next day. Here it is. Here are the two tablets. Also, oid our boy, Yom, and he stayed there in Shemayim for another person. What did Moshe do the last 40 days? So it doesn't say. It doesn't say. So we assume that I don't know. It doesn't say what he did. I know in the Darshanim will tell you that he learned the Torah all over again with a different approach. There was an approach to learning before the Shuras Aluchas, and there's a new approach to the study of Torah after the Shuras Aluchas. It's a different type of learning. Okay, so he spent there another 40 days. Here's a chiddush of Rashi. On that day of Yom Kippur, Nochamo, Nisratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishol B'Simcha. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave the Jewish people twice. He forgave them on the 29th day of Av, and he forgave them again on Yom Kippur. What's the difference? The difference is one word, b'simcha. On the 29th day of Av, Hashem says, okay, I forgive you. I'm not happy about this, I'm not happy about this, but Moshe, what could I say? You won me over. I forgive them. Then when Moshe spent another 40 days in Shemayim and Moshe came down 40 days later, which is Yom Kippur, Hashem Nochamol said, I forgive you. And I forgive you this time, b'simcha. That's why we say Slachi Kidvarecha Yom Kippur, because that's when Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. That's why Yom Kippur has been established via the Yom Slicha Mechila, because it's Ma'isa of Osim Labanim. That's the day when Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the ego. So we take that day as an auspicious time to achieve forgiveness, and that's why Hashem made that day for all generations should be a day for Klal Yisrael, day of Slicha Mechila. How do you know? It says, it says later on, how do you know that it was b'simcha? Because Moshe, it's in a word, it says, just like the first 40 days, Klal Yisrael did not yet sin. So to the last 40 days, Hashem forgave them. He restored the love that existed pre Shviras Haluchas.
It's interesting, Rabbi. The Ramban adds a little bit of extra to it. You asked the question, what do they do the second 40 days, right?
Yeah.
According to the Ramban, he Moshe was still afraid, even though Hashem had forgiven them, so to speak, the first go around. He was afraid that Hashem still had the ketzev, the wrath against them, even though he had already reconsidered, right? Because he said, Slachti kidvarecha. So he said, therefore, arkein, this is the Ramban's word, arkein chazarti, mispalti alechem arbom yom v'arbom laila. Once again, I threw myself down on your behalf 40 days and 40 nights. Until Hashem, he said, ad sheshoma elai gam b'pam ahu, kasher shoma elai b'pam rishona kodim she'eratu.
So Ramban is saying a radical pshat. What it means, the Ramban is saying, it could be the Ramban is saying a different pshat in the past than what Rashi says. Okay, I hear what you said. Let's first figure out Rashi. He's saying something very, very fascinating, and we have to see the Targum, and it could very well be the Ramban is saying something different than what Rashi says.
But you asked the Shala, what did he do the second 40 days?
Right, so the Ramban is saying that he was mispalo. He was mispalo because he was afraid that it was not enough. He was not satisfied with Hashem just forgiving Klal Yisrael on the 29th day of Av. He wanted more. He wanted a simcha, a forgiveness of simcha. So therefore, he went for a second round. Is that what Rashi says? Not necessarily. Let's see Rashi can tell you more clearly. Let's review this Rashi one more time. Rashi is saying a lot of chidushim. Let's read the pasuk one more time. There's a lot going on here. Over here, there's a word here that has to be addressed. And the word that has to be addressed, the word korishayna. What does it mean here, korishayna? And is Karishayna connected to the word Arboim Yom Arboim Laila? Or is the word Karishayna a standalone word? I think Mr. Rappaport, the difference between Rashi and the Ramban is that Rashi learns the word Karishayna stands on its own. Whereas according to the Ramban, the word Karishayna is meant to be read together with Arboim Yom Arboim Laila. And what does the Nafka mean? Is it mean Karishayna mean 40 days or Karishayna just means for a moment? For a moment. Okay, so let's see, because the problem here is, Moshe over here is saying, in Pasuk 18, we're clearly describing the event of the second 40 days. Moshe's stay in Shemayim was a total of 120 days, which is broken down into three parts, 40, 40, 40. There's no one that disagrees with that. Moshe was in Shemayim for a grand total of 120 days, 40, 40, 40. Now, here's the question. It says here, we're now, Pasuk Yud Ches is discussing, at least according to Rashi, is discussing this middle 40 days. The middle, Rashi. Mr. Rapport, maybe according to Ramban, the Pasuk is discussing the last 40 days. The last 40 days. But according to Rashi, it's pretty clear that this Pasuk refers to the middle 40 days. And Moshe says, I fell before Hashem, Karishayna. Now, the problem is that's not correct, because Moshe, the first 40 days, there is no record that Moshe was in a matzav of Bo'es Napal. Moshe was told to come to Shemayim to receive the Luchas. Now, what do you do there in Shemayim? I don't know. No one told us. But it doesn't seem that Moshe was in a matzav of Vo'es Napal for 40 days, for the first 40 days. The only record we have that Moshe was in a matzav of Vo'es Napal was the last of the 40 days. Because the last of the 40 days, Hashem told Moshe, it was really the last 6 hours. The last 6 hours, Moshe, you've been here for 39 and a half days. Everything is fine and good, but I have some bad news to tell you. The Klal Yisrael is now, at this moment, worshiping an Egel. Moshe did not leave Hashem's presence until he was granted a ceasefire. And that 6 hours where Moshe pleaded with Hashem not to destroy them, Moshe was in a state of being that we can call Bo'es Napal. Now, Moshe goes up to Shemayim again for another 40 days. According to Rashi, what did Moshe do for the second 40 days? The second 40 days, he prayed nonstop. The entire second set of 40 days, Moshe was in a matzav of Bo'es Napal. But you can't say Kori Shoyna because it wasn't like the first 40 days. The first 40 days, Moshe was only in a state of Bo'es Napal for 6 hours. And in the second 40 days, Moshe was in a state of Bo'es Napal for 40 days. So how then can it say the word Kori Shoyna Arboim Yom Ve'arboim Layim? How could you say? So you have to say that when it says Bo'es Napal of Hashem Kori Shoyna, it means just like the last 6 hours of the first 40 days, I entered into a state of Bo'es Napal. Now when I return for a second set of 40 days, those 40 days was an extension. It was Kori Shoyna. Those 40 days was like the last 6 hours of the first 40 days. So Kori Shoyna is really only going back on 6 hours of 40 days. Look at the Rashi. Now let's look at the Rashi. Vo'es Napal of Hashem Kori Shoyna Arbor Miyom Shenema. It says in Kisisa, the Ata now. Now, Ata, what is now? This pasuk is describing when Moshe came down and broke the Luchas. So this pasuk is describing Moshe Rabbeinu's talking in between the first 40 and the second 40. And he says now, Ele El Hashem, I will ascend to Hashem, Ulai maybe, Achapara, I will be successful in getting for you forgiveness. And Rashi explained, but also Aliyah Nisakafti Arboim Yoy. So Rashi brings out the point. It was only the second time that Moshe, in that Aliyah, I delayed there for 40 days. Nimtzu'u, Kolim B'chof Tespa'av. The second 40 days comes out at the end of 29 day of Av. Shuhu, well, how do you know that? How do I know that the calendar, that's correct? It's the last day of Chodesh Av. Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Because Shu'ala B'Shemona also B'Tamas. Moshe shouted the Luchas on the 17th day. And then he went up the next day on the 18th day. So 18, 19, 20, 21, you look at a calendar, you go and you start counting 40 days from, you start counting 40 days from the 18th day of Tammuz. The last day, day 40, is the 29th day of Av. And it was Bo Vayom on that day, the last day of Av, Nisratso Li Yisrael. Hashem said, I forgive you. The Omalo Moshe, and on that day, on that 29th day, when Hashem said, I forgive you, Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, we need now make replacements for what we've done. Moshe goes down, he gets tablets, he goes back up right away on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Also, it doesn't say what he did up there those next 40 days. He just went up there for 40 days. Nimsu Cholim Bo B'Yom Kippurim. Moshe comes out on Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippurim. Vova Yom Anate Nochamo. Nisrat Sakalash Baruch Lishol B'Simcha. Now, when Hashem forgave them on the second time around, Hashem gave them with Simcha. V'yavol Moshe. Solach L'Rech. L'kach L'kbal L'mun L'chil L'Sicha. That's why the 10th day of Tishrei is always going to be Yom Kippur. Uminayin, and how do you know that Shalim? How do you know that on that day Hashem forgave them Solachti Kidvorecha? When it says Solachti Kidvorecha, it means with Simcha. How do you know that? Maybe it means that just Hashem repeated it, I forgive you again. How do you know it's Bilurotun Shalem Shenemar? Because it says, Be'arbom Shalukos Achroinois, it says later on in this parasha, V'nochimati v'chorkim kayomori shoinim. And it says that the last 40 days was exactly like the first 40 days. What's that pasuk telling you? Mahori shoinim Bilurotsoin, Afachroin Bilurotsoin. Those were Bilurotsoin, Emma Meato, and Suim Hoyubikas. The middle 40 days, Hashem was angry, and Moshe had to be mispalo those entire 40 days. A lot going on over here. Let's see the Targum for one moment. Let's see what Targum says. Targum says, V'ish tatochis kodam Hashem, I fell down, I bowed down before Hashem, kikad meso, like the first time. How long did I do it this time? Arbo in yimamin v'arvin lel lovon, for 40 days. Okay, so before now, here's my question. When it says here, Estabal of Hashem Kori Shoino, how do we know? How taka do we know? Do we know that Moshe was in Shemayim? Moshe was in Shemayim for 40 days. The first time. All it says over here is, I fell before Hashem Kori Shoino, Arbo Im Yoim Va Arbo Im Laila. See, this is the big problem over here. It says here
he went up on a 6 or 7. He came back on a 7.
How do you know that? How do you know that? Who says? Where does it say that Moshe, when he went up on the 6th day of Sivan, he came down, or the 7th day, really the 7th day of Sivan, the 7th day of Sivan? How do you know that he was there for 40 days? How do you know that? It doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say anywhere that when Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, "Alei Elai Hahara, come up to the mountain." It does not say anywhere how long he was in the mountain. The only way we know it is from this pasuk, because this pasuk says, "Esnapal lefnei Hashem kori shoyno arboim yom va'arboim laila." Now, here's my question to you: when it says here arboim yom va'arboim laila, is this describing Moshe's second visit? The second visit is explicitly defined here as being for 40 days and 40 nights. And because it now says, Kori Shoina, the pasuk here is revealing to us that when Moshe was in Shemayim for the first visit, it was also for 40 days. Is that the pshat in the pasuk?
In Yud Aleph, what 40-day period are we referring to?
Oh, maybe you are. Let's see. Let's see. Vayihi miketz arboim yom arboim laila. Nos nashim lai shnei luchos. No, you're right. I made a mistake. You're right. You got me. It's a Farish apostle. It's a Farish apostle. You are correct. Mr. Rapport, excellent. Vayihi miketz arboim yom.
I learned from laila.
You're right.
Maybe I learned from you.
Nos nashim lai shnei luchos arboim luchos abris. Okay. So now let's just rephrase the question. If it says over here in the pasuk that Moshe was in Shemayim for 40 days, explicitly, his first visit was 40 days. So now, in this pasuk, when Moshe says, I went to Shemayim a second time, like the first time, our boy,
Rebbe, you're stuck again. You're stuck. We can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? Rabbi Lazer, can you hear me?
You just popped back.
I came back. The return of the Jedi. Okay. You hear me now? Sprint.
Yeah, you're okay.
Hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Yes, we can hear
okay,
you.
Okay, so here. So my question, if the Pasuk explicitly says that Moshe with his first visit was for 40 days and 40 nights, there is no need in Pasuk 18 for the Torah to tell us the words arboim yoim ve'arboim laila. All the Pasuk needs to say is v'esnapal lefnei Hashem kori shoina. It was a repeat performance.
No, it wasn't. Didn't you see Rabbi before that the first go around he didn't daven?
So what do you want to say then?
For 40 days.
So you want to say then that therefore the fact, I'm retracting what I said before temporarily to just to bring out the point. So what are you going to say now? I'm trying to put us on what I said before for one moment. Why do we need the repetition? If the Torah explicitly says that his visit number one was for 40 days and 40 nights, so now we come to visit number two, there's no need to say, Arboim Yom V'Arboim Laila. All we need to say is for esnapal lefnei Hashem korishayna. Whatever it's ditto. Whatever we did for the last time, we're going to do again. Second round. Let's try this again. Let's start all over again. I went to Shemayim for 40 days. I came down and you people, you had no patience and you made the lucha, you made an egel. Let's try this again. I'm going to go to Shemayim again for 40 days. And when I come down the second time, you better not make an egel again. Otherwise, we're done. So why did it need to say Nochamol Arboim Yoim Ve'Arboim Laila? Obviously, the word Korishayna would not tell us. The word Korishayna is not going back on everything. It's only going back on the word Vo'esnapal, that I fell before Hashem like I did in the past. When was the past? The last 6 hours of the first visit, Moshe, we have a very long prayer. We lay in every time this Siba, Vayichal Moshe Espanei Hashem Elokav Vayomer, Lama Hashem Yechnev Kavimecha. That tefillah took place the last 6 hours of visit number one.
Before he broke the luchas.
So when it says Kori Shaina, it's not going on the Mount of Time. It's only going on Vo'esnapal. Then when it says Arboim Yoim V'Arboim Laila, that's referring to his second visit. Now this is what Rashi says, and Targum is very vague. Targum doesn't say very much. It's very later. They see al kolchov echodi chavat and all of your sins lemebad divish evil kadam Hashem la'argoi. He adds over here these words kadamogi to create a separation between man and Hashem. Okay, let's not focus on that. Now let me focus. Let me just when you missed the Rapport, he said something very, very fascinating. According to the Ramban, the way you said it, maybe it's not correct. There's a possibility that pasuk yud ches is not discussing the middle 40 days. It's discussing the last 40 days. And the pasuk is coming to teach you how much time Moshe spent in Shemayim during the middle visit. Okay, we already read the Rashi, so we're already brainwashed, we're already damaged. Because it says later on that Moshe, the Rashi told us a whole sequence of events. Who says, maybe you can learn Pshat in the Pesukim like this, is that Moshe, the Torah is telling us explicitly what happened the first 40 days. And then the Pasuk here, Pasuk 18, is telling us what happened the last visit number 3. And when it tells you about visit number 3, it incidentally tells you about visit number 2. And it says, like Mr. Rappel, you quoted from the Ramban, that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal for Klal Yisrael for 80 days. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do the middle 40 days? And what did Moshe do the last 40 days? So Rashi told us, the middle 40 days he prayed. The last 40 days, Rashi basically is quiet, he's silent. It sounds like he was learning Torah. He was learning Torah, a new mahalach and learning Torah. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says that Moshe was praying for Klal Yisrael 80 days straight with a break in the middle. What's the chilik between the first 40 days and the last 40 days? Here we'll borrow from Rashi. The first 40 days, Moshe achieved forgiveness, you know, a cold forgiveness. It wasn't besimcha. And the last 40 days, Moshe upgraded the forgiveness to a forgiveness besimcha. So the pasuk over here says, V'esnapal lefnei Hashem kori shayna, I prayed another 40 days. The subject of Pasuk Yudches can possibly be referring to the third visit. I prayed to Hashem the third visit, just like I prayed to Hashem on my second visit. And when it says, Arboim Yom, Arboim Laila, it's coming to reveal to us that the second visit was also for 40 days. And both sets of days were days of prayer to achieve forgiveness. First, the forgiveness that was not besimcha, and the second was the forgiveness that was besimcha. And then later, we go back in time and we discuss what happened with this. When Hashem told me to go and get Shnei Luchos Avanim, maybe according to the Ramban, that took place on Yom Kippur. Maybe that took place on the very last day of the 120 days. And Moshe brought the Luchos to Shemam and Hashem did it for him right away. How do you know that according to Rashi, when did Hashem command me to get the new set of Luchos? On Rosh Chodesh Elul. According to the Ramban, maybe no. Hashem told Moshe to get a two new Luchos on Yom Kippur. And Hashem immediately, and Hashem in one shot, he wrote the Luchos Shnius on Yom Kippur. Okay, I don't know. But at least, Mr. Rappaport, you did bring a very good point. And that point is brought out because appears to be a lot of ambiguity in the pasuk by mentioning the number 40 days multiple times and using the word Karishayna. And Karishayna doesn't really correlate well between the first set of 40 days and the second set of 40 days. Because the first set of 40 days, everything was fine and good until the very last moment. And the second set of 40 days, things were not so great. So what's this Karishayna? But if you learn that we're discussing here the last visit, the third visit, and we're now coming to compare visit number two to visit number three, then it changes the whole focus of the pasuk and the whole flavor of what happened is very, very different. What exactly was going on? Okay, so it's interesting. You really zoom in. You see things here in the Pesukim that this is not what they taught us in third grade. It's a whole new world. All right, we have to stop here, Mr. Apple. Thank you.
Welcome, Ezra Fried in Israel. What time?
Good evening.
Oh, we have Ezra Fried.
3 o'clock?
Yep.
Good morning. How is it?
Wonderful.
How was your trip?
Fantastic.
Send us some pictures on the cold chat. We want to see.
We have one picture.
I sent a few before.
On the cold chat? Yeah, you put pictures up?
One picture with a flag.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll send some more.
Wow.
Shalom.
Send us the donkey. We need the donkey.
The donkey.
The white donkey.
You're at home. You're in your home now? You're in your apartment?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, wow. 3 in the morning?
Yes, So obviously I'm still jet lag, but man, Hashem, I did set my alarm clock too. So I want to try to keep up with the shiur.
Okay.
Take care. Lots of luck.
See you. Wow.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Okay. Have a good night.
Take care. Good night. Okay, Rabbi Sadler. I'm lazy. Thank you for coming, Heshi. Mara, thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Glatter, good to see you as always. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too. All the best. Thank you. Good night.
So what was the ceremony? What happened, Ezra? What happened in the ceremony with Nefesh B'Nefesh? What did they do?
Oh, so first of all, they when we got to the airport, they're very, very good. They guard you along the whole way. It was like your assembly line, basically. So as soon as we got to Kennedy Airport, they were in a special line, and then you had representatives coming around every few minutes to do the next phase. And then the check-in went very smoothly. Then they took us. I was very upset because we always take two aisle seats, my wife and I. So when we got to the check-in, they said, "No, you have an aisle in the window." So I said, "Okay, it started already," you know. After everybody checked the luggage in, they had like a special ceremony downstairs in the arrivals hall, and they had some speakers and set up like snacks and all that. And then they told us to go, and not in an area where in the arrivals area. We went through this hallway and the TSA that was just for our flight. So that went very quickly. And then, by the time we finished everything, it was time to board. So I get on the plane, and I'm a little upset, because with the seating situation. And we are pleasantly surprised that we get on. And we got upgraded to business.
Ooh!
We had these fantastic seats.
Wow!
I wasn't upset anymore about the 2 hour seat situation. it was just throughout the flight. Then they come over, you fill out forms, and it was a great ruach on the flight. a lot of emotions. And then when we went to, it's interesting. I was saying it was a lot, very stressful 8 months since my mother passed away, between, closing out her apartment, then starting with ours, and just a whole bunch of things that went on the last few weeks. Very, very stressful period of our lives. And I was saying, I don't feel I think I mentioned too.
Right.
It's very anticlimactic. Yeah. And it bothered me on the flight that the whole thing that I just couldn't, well, why don't I feel it? And as I was flying, so generally when I fly through that Eretz Yisrael, I just don't have, my mind is in a different zone. And, the only thing, I can't even watch a movie. So what I do like to watch when I'm on the flight is, I like to watch the flight pattern as the plane, where the plane's flying over. So, and I think, like to think of places where it's over, or the places that I'm flying over, what's there. And then I read about it. But then as we're flying over the Atlantic, and, I see Spain. And I'm thinking, like, wow, it's like just amazing. I'm flying over this here on my way to Eretz Yisrael. Is Spain the home of the Rambam and the whole period of Jewry migrating to Spain, the long oldest communities and the golden age of Spain, and all the tzaddikim from Spain. And then what happened? We had the Spanish Inquisition. It's gone. And then we're flying over France, and I was thinking, Rashi, the Crusades, and then we went to Germany, the Rhine, and what happened in Germany. And as I'm going over Poland, I see the Warsaw, Lublin, Krakow, the Ramah, the whole area is gone. And I'm looking down, and I see just history passing behind me. And I'm thinking, all these people that were there wanted for 2,000 years wanted to go to Israel. And on the bottom of the screen, it says time till destination, 2 hours and 17 minutes. I'm saying, I can't believe this, 2 hours and 17 minutes from this place with the most horrific areas of Europe on the other coast of the history. And in 2 hours and 17 minutes, I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's so it really, that got to me.
So what you just said is very, very powerful. You should, give a public, give a drush and say exactly what you said to me. It's fascinating. It's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you're flying over these areas, who would imagine? Jewish history is right in front of your eyes, and you're on a plane, and you're on a plane, you fly over it like nothing.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. 2 hours and 17 minutes to the destination. It was
2,000 years of history. 2,000 years of history turns into 2 hours and 17 minutes. You're flying, and the whole Tsar of Jewish history is like a dream.
Right. And I realize what a privilege it is for me for that period of time, the emotion that I didn't feel came back to me, like it punched me in the face.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hashem is with you.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah. So that's so.
When you arrived, what happened when you arrived? They had a big ceremony when you arrived.
So after we arrived, it was again. It's very organized. They went to the one large room where they had waiting snacks and everything. And
you landed in the regular airport or a special airport?
No, it was the old Terminal 1.
They took you to the old airport, a different airport.
Yeah, the terminal, and they had this office set up for the absorption industry, and they started. They had 10 offices. And then they called our name, went in, and right away they gave us a form for our health benefits. They give you a stipend, so there was a check with cash inside. And there was an envelope with cash inside. Wow. And then they give you the where you have to go pick up your Tudat Zehut and all the forms that you have to fill out. And then they had us go to another place to get the luggage, to identify, to put on carts. And they didn't let us take, they took the straight from there to the cabs. And then we went out in a different way, and all the families were waiting there. So all our grandchildren was there, and all the families, and they had a band, and they had all, so my kids are there. So all my kids and my two sons, made Aliyah 10 years ago. a month apart. And then my youngest, Amir Eliyah, 5 years ago. And our work on me, so that they all made T-shirts. And in the back it says, V'shavu horim l'gvulam.
Horim. Instead of Balim, horim l'gvulam.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cute. That's really, really cute. Yeah. It's really amazing. It's remarkable.
It is very surreal. But you know, like, so so it's because a lot of people have gone to Beit Shemesh. So for us, they had like a chartered a bus.
Free.
But he won these huge buses. And on the way there, I figured I would have time to have a late minyan by Chabad. I would be able to still have a shachas for minyan. So as we're driving, the bus driver gets pulled over by a cop. He wasn't
the bus driver. The bus driver.
Yeah.
Welcome to Israel.
Right. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So we were pulled over for So after like 15 minutes, I figured, forget it. So I just dumped him on the bus. So we were there for like a good 40 minutes, and I had to go to the bathroom. It was just the whole thing. But Baruch Hashem, we made it. And I had and in the afternoon, all my friends came over, relatives. We had a very nice reunion.
Remarkable! It's really special.
Yeah. It's remarkable how the opportunities that we're able to start new connections, but keep our old connections with through the wonder of technology. Yeah. So Baruch Hashem. So it was a very, very, very I feel very, very privileged and to make new memories and to still maintain the old ones.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, so, fascinating. Yeah. Because he says a picture, let me go look. He says a picture of me. Let's see. I look at my coil. Oh, here. Ooh, here it is. Wow. You know, also, it's nice you come in and they let you go on to the, what's it called, to the tarmac? Tarmac, what's it called?
Yeah, the tarmac. Yeah,
you don't go into they make it, like the olden days. You don't claim into the land, to the earth.
Yeah.
Wow. So people were there people outside, your children able to come to the tarmac?
No, they came. No. So originally what was going to happen was they said they weren't going to do anything. Because they said that the airport is very busy and they can't absorb all the traffic going in. So if anybody wants to come, they can stay outside and meet everybody like outside the terminal. They weren't going to, we usually used to have a whole reception inside. And then at the last minute on Friday, they said, okay, we're having a reception. So everybody was able to go inside. It was just very...
So this airport, what do they use it for?
Well, they use that for like domestic flights. It's the old terminal.
So it's busy. The terminal is busy.
No, not really. It was just our group.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is the first flight. This is the first charter flight that they had since Corona.
Really?
Yeah.
With Nefesh B'Nefesh?
Yeah, they had group flights, but they didn't have charter flights. Where the whole plane, the entire plane was Nefesh B'Nefesh.
Wow. It was a new plane. It's a new plane, Dreamliner.
Yeah, the Dreamliner. It's a beautiful plane.
Beautiful plane.
Yeah.
It was smooth, like butter.
Yeah, very nice. And I asked the flight attendants if I could, dive in with Minion and. So I went a few people that were reluctant. So I went to, I figured, let me ask permission. So they said, yes, you can. But they said, you can't. They said that you can only get a minion. They said they can't have people blocking the places. So we went to the back. They got a minion together. And then it worked out well. And then for Marv, we couldn't, I said everybody was sleeping, so luckily I was able to get Wi-Fi on the plane. I asked a friend of mine to say Kaddish for me, so Baruch Hashem. worked out well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ashrecha.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Hashem. We shall go and we shall meet. You have a brother there, right?
I have a brother. Yeah, I have a brother there.
Okay. Well, Mensch Hashem on your next visit.
Yeah, next visit. 100%. He made a chasna. Like he made a chasna. We were actually going to go, but then the Lebanon, the Gaza, the missiles. It was right smack in the middle. They were shooting all the missiles.
Uh-huh.
It canceled a lot of flights, and then there was a surge. So it was almost impossible to go. So we couldn't go. It canceled. Because right in the middle of that episode with Gaza, it was like the end of Corona when they war. It was just the war. There was you know, whatever. So
last year, yeah, it was great. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Anyway.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got you on. Okay, we'll talk tomorrow. Thank you very much for coming online. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Okay.
Get some good sleep.
Yeah. Probably a few days till my clock adjusts. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Be well.
Thank you. Be well. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.